Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And today we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul once again is going to be answering a question that the Corinthians had written to him about. And in chapter 12, verse 1 through the end of chapter 14, we're going to deal with the issue of spiritual endowments. If you recall, the Corinthians were being infiltrated with a leaven, and that leaven was the Greek philosophy and the religion that, of the Greeks that came along with it. They were being infiltrated. There was a leaven. They were trying to mix the good news, the right message of Jesus Christ with the philosophies of the day. And when they were doing that, they were being influenced not only by the philosophies of the day, but the religion of the day, because the religion and the philosophies went together. The pagans had their wild meetings where there was people who were uncontrolled, and they had perverted practices, and they ate too much and they drank too much at these meetings, and this kind of practice was being imported into the meetings of the Corinthians, the meeting of the outcalled. And so Paul is writing and he's correcting a lot of that. And as we saw in the last chapter, God was judging them, and many were becoming sick. They were becoming weak, and also some of them were put to death, because this was a time of divine power. And so that's what was happening. And now Paul's going to deal with the issue of spiritual gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, the King James has the word gifts in italics, and that's because the words... The word spiritual is an adjective, so a noun must be supplied. The King James translator supplied the word gifts. I think we should better read it this way. Now, concerning spiritual powers or endowments." And let me just say this right off the bat. These were not natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Singing is not a spiritual gift. Speaking ability is not a spiritual gift. These were not natural talents. You know, as a young man growing up and my early days in faith in Christ, I would go to different churches, and they always had these classes on developing your spiritual gifts or discovering and developing your spiritual gifts. And what they were doing in every case was they were seeing what your natural talents are and calling that your spiritual gift. Well, they were doing that because, you know, to speak frankly, to lay all the cards on the table face up, they were doing that because, with many, it's a very honest and sincere thing. They read the book of Acts, they read the Gospels, and they see that there's power present there, and they don't have this power. Yet they want to believe the Scriptures, and since they don't understand the Acts 28:28 dispensational boundary line, they think that all the Bible, every bit of it, we don't have to rightly divide it. And so they look at their own experience and they say, "Well, look at me. I'm not doing what's going on here in Corinthians. I'm not doing all these signs and wonders. So what do we do? Why aren't we doing that?" Well, so what they have to do is they have to tone down what's going on in Corinthians and then tone up their practice and try to make Corinthians match their practices. So basically what they're doing is they're altering the Word of God to suit their experience. But Paul here is not talking about just gifts of natural talents here. He's talking about spiritual powers, divine grants of power here in 1 Corinthians. Not natural talents, not speaking ability, not singing, not being able to direct people in the parking lot. But these are actual divine powers and endowments. These gifts are no longer in operation today. I know that's not a popular statement, but you just look around and you compare the practice of Book of Acts here in Corinthians with those who claim to have the gifts, and you will realize that they are reinterpreting the Scripture to match their own experience. All right, so these are spiritual endowments. So let's right away recognize that these are divine powers, and you don't have them, so let's stop playing games and let's stop playing dress-up. Let's not be like children on Halloween who want to play their favorite superheroes. Let's leave the children's games behind and recognize we don't live in this time anymore. Something changed. Acts 28:28 is the dispensational dividing line. We don't live in these times any longer. The powers of the kingdom, the kingdom time, are no longer in operation. It's the silent heavens, as Sir Robert Anderson put it. So let's just act like adults and recognize the facts and stop playing games. So these are divine endowments. And he says, now concerning these spiritual endowments, I, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now in verse 2, I'm going to read it in the King James. Paul says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. So in verse 2, Paul's going to talk about idols. But as you read it in the King James, you would think that he's addressing Gentiles here. Now remember, we've said this multiple times, that the Corinthians, just to the Jew first, they were celebrating the Passover in the last chapter. There were Gentiles there present, part of them, but it was the Jew first, and the order of the day was the Jew first, and promises relating to them. And so here in verse 2, you would think that, well, Paul's referring to Gentiles. He's speaking the Gentiles. Well, that's not what's going on here. We might, what some have done with this verse is they say, well, see, that they were once, that these Corinthians, they teach, are Gentiles, but now that they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're no longer Gentiles. And that's the doctrine. The doctrine is that what Christendom is taught is that when a person becomes a believer, if he's a Gentile, he ceases to be a Gentile. If a person is a Jew and he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he ceases to be a Jew. But you cannot read the scriptures and come up with that conclusion. Because the Apostle Paul, for one, is a Jew, said, I am a Jew, a citizen of no mean city. He constantly reaffirmed that he was a Jew. And he says, for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. He never changed his Jewishness. And I was born in 1970 in the city of Chicago. My family descends from folks in Ireland. When I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as a young man, I didn't cease to be Irish. So what does verse 2 mean? We have to retranslate it. And the good translation is this. You know, or you are aware, that when ye were leaning toward the nations. That's the context here. You were leaning towards the nations. You were being led away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. That's the right translation. And what that is pointing out to is that these Jews, and if you look at the history of the nation of Israel, is that the Israelites followed Gentile practices. Just read Psalm 106 and just read their whole history. The Jews were constantly leaning toward the Gentiles and Gentile practices, and thus they were constantly mixing the one true God with idols. And that's exactly what is happening here in Corinth, that these Jews were leaning toward the nations, following their practices. They were being carried away from Jehovah or Yahweh to the dumb idols, even as they were led. That's what they were doing. Their history bears this out. And the reason why Paul brings this up in verse 2, because they were leaning toward it now. It was going on in Corinth. They were once again mixing Yahweh with idols. And so Paul is correcting a practice here by pointing out what they're doing here. And so that's why in verse 3 he says this, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. I'm reading from the King James. Now we have to work on this verse. And here it is. It says, wherefore, Paul says, I give you to understand that no man speaking in or in harmony with the Spirit of God calleth Jesus separated, and we have to add something, from Jehovah. And no man can say that Jesus is Yahweh, or Lord here, but in Holy Spirit. Now some think that Paul is saying here, by reading the English, that Paul is saying to the Corinthians, all right, Corinthians, let me tell you something. Nobody who is speaking in harmony with God's Spirit is going to call Jesus Christ a bad name. That is so obvious it doesn't even need to be stated. So Paul is not telling them that if you call Jesus a bad name, that you're not speaking by the Spirit of God. That's not what he's saying here. What he is saying is that no man speaking in harmony with the Spirit of God call Jesus separated from Jehovah. You cannot separate the Lord Jesus Christ from Jehovah. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Every manifestation of God in the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so no man speaking in harmony with the Spirit of God calls Jesus separated from Jehovah. You understand? Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And in verse 2, they were in danger of being led away leaning toward the nations, being carried away from God to the dumb idols. And to do that, you have to separate Jesus from Jehovah. Because nobody recognizing who the Lord Jesus Christ is would ever go into any other idol. And so Paul is saying here, no man speaking in harmony with the Spirit of God called Jesus separated from Jehovah. And that's essentially what you'd be doing is if you took part in the idolatry. Because you're just making Jesus one of the boys. Jesus is just one God among many gods. They're all equal. No, you cannot separate Jesus from Jehovah. And when you recognize that Jesus is Jehovah, there's no room for idols. So that's the idea here. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking in the harmony with the Spirit of God calleth Jesus separated from Jehovah, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord, not the Lord, it's is Lord, he is Yahweh, but in Holy Spirit, or in the power of Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of God is an extension of God. It's the activity of God. In the Gospels, in one place, it says it's the finger of God. In another place, the same parallel passage calls it the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is an extension of God. All right. Having said what he says now, he says in verse 4, now there are apportionments of gifts, but the same Spirit, and we might add an ellipsis here, that empowers their use. And there are apportionments of administrations, but it's the same Lord who is ministered to. And there are diverse apportionments of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all these in everyone. So, in other words, there is one God, Yahweh, and he divides these gifts up by his Spirit. And know there are different gifts. It's one God operating, and that means that there's going to be some order to this. It's not going to be like the idol's temple where people are carried away to the dumb idols even as they were led. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profiting withal. Now, something to look at here in verse 7, this manifestation of the Spirit. This is not a gift that is hidden. The gifts here in Corinth could be seen. The gifts in Corinth were manifest, invisible gifts. These, again, were not natural talents. These were manifestation of God's power in their midst. And we live in it. And the reason why, as I said before, we try to pretend that these gifts are still in operation, but they're not. One of the things we must distinguish in the Word of God is the Acts period and the post-Acts period. In the Acts period, people believed through an authorized herald with signs following. You and I today believe without seeing anything. We cannot verify our faith with any signs whatsoever. We believe the Word of God, and that's where we're at today. But these Corinthians had the manifestation of the Spirit, which was given to each one toward the profiting others. So we already see here that Paul is saying that these gifts, these powers that you're given, aren't to be used. You're not to act like they do in the pagan temples. That there are different types of gifts, and yet they have to be done orderly because they all come from one source. And then he says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, the word here in verse 8, another, is the Greek word allos. And then when you come to verse 9, we have the word heteros, which starts off the verse 9. And then when you come down to verse 10, where it says to another divers kinds of tongue, the word another there is heteros. So I think the Greek word heteros is a marker here showing that the gifts are in three categories. Three gifts are in three categories. So the word heteros divides the categories. So category number one in verse 8 says, "For to one is given by the Spirit," or through the Spirit, "the word of wisdom, to another," alos, "the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now this word of wisdom and word of knowledge, these are God-given things. It's not a natural talent. You and I have to study to get to know the truth. These people were given the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Today, our knowledge is not a gift. We have to work for it today. I have to study the word. And those in Acts didn't have to do what I have to do. The fact that you and I write in our margins proves the point I'm making. You and I have to study and use all the means that are available to us to mine out the Greek words and so forth, the various translations. We study them, and we have to work hard to retain what we learn. But here in Corinth, these were divine gifts. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So that's category number one. And now, verse 9, "To another, heteros, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, alos, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, alos, the working of signs. To another, alos, prophecy. To another," that's alos, "discerning of spirits." So here's category number two. We have faith, gifts of healing. We have working of signs, another prophecy, and discerning of spirits. And prophecy was speaking God's word directly from God. Today, we quote translations of Scripture, and we have to go and mine out the Hebrew and Greek words. So this second section is the gifts and of miracles and signs and discerning of tongues. And prophecy. This is the second group. And then we have a third group. "To another, heteros, divers kinds of tongues. To another, alos, the interpretation of tongues," which are languages, by the way, not gibberish. Now think about something. Think about how hard it is to learn languages today. Think about how hard it is. And yet here, it's a gift. It's a gift. This is not something they had to go to school for. Nobody has these gifts today. If somebody knows six or seven languages, it's because they worked at it. It's not a divine endowment. They had to work at it and study. And the part of the reason they needed the tongues back then is because there were so many languages in such a, scattered all over that area, and different dialects and so forth. So in order to spread the message in that time, you needed this divine gift to spread it. All right, so we see the three categories of gifts, and I think that might be why when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in chapter 13 it says, "Charity never faileth, but whether they're prophecies, they shall fail." Prophecy comes from the second category here in 1 Corinthians 12. And then it says, "And whether it be tongues, they shall cease." Tongues comes from the third category here in chapter 12. And then when it says, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Knowledge comes from the first category here in chapter 12. So in 1 Corinthians 13, when he talks about these various gifts, which we'll talk about when we get to 1 Corinthians 13, the context there. But he doesn't mention all the gifts. You know, he only picks three: prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. Probably, at least my opinion, it's because those gifts represent those category of gifts. So in chapter 13, verse 8, when he only mentions three, but he's using them to sum up all the gifts here listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. That's just something for you to think about. All right, so we come to 11, verse 11. "But all these," he says, "worketh at one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to each man severally as he will." So the gifts come from God, and the Corinthians again were in danger of idolatry and the silly practices that came with it, the out of control practices and all that other stuff. And so Paul is correcting that here by showing them that there's only one God, that Jesus isn't separated from Yahweh, and if you recognize that, you wouldn't be falling for these idol practices which have been imported into your meetings. All right, we're going to stop there because we're going to get into verse 12, some detailed scripture here, but we'll pick that up in our next study. And this is Dan Sheridan. I hope you enjoyed our time together. Until next time, remember, keep searching the scriptures to see whether these things be so.